رسول الله عليه السلام said, He is not from us. He is not from us. He is not from us.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program He is Not From Us. In our previous sessions we covered the topics related to the Quran and how the Quran should be recited with a good tone of voice, and such people who do this are considered to be following the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and those who do not do this, who do not recite the Quran with a good tone of voice, are considered to be not following the prophetic way or the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We also covered in our last episode the importance of the prophetic way, the sunnah, and not following the prophetic way will in turn lead to being described as someone who is not from the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Today inshallah we will cover a few topics related to this theme, Laysa Minna, He is Not From Us. But before we continue with this topic, following our routine, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of sending peace and blessings in favor of the best in creation, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We call this action Salat al-Nabi or Durood Sharif. Let us hear a narration related to Salawat in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said that whosoever recites salawat or durood sharif 100 times, Allah subhanahu ta'ala writes between his eyes, meaning on his forehead, that this person is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, this individual will be with the martyrs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our recitation, our presenting of salawat and salam in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Today we will cover a few prophetic traditions related to the theme Laysa Minna, He is Not From Us. The first narration that I would like to share with you is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Laysa Minna man khabbaba imratan ala zawjiha aw abdan ala sayyidi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, He is not from us who turns the wife against her husband and turns the slave against his master. Unfortunately, in the day and age that we live in, many people, whether it's due to jealousy, whether it's due to personal hatred, they have a habit of spreading gossip or creating discord within families, especially between the husband and the wife. This action of causing a separation or a disagreement or creating discord between the husband and wife is an action which is celebrated by Shaitan himself, and something which is liked by Shaitan. As believers, we have to oppose it. An action which destroys families. How can one create discord between a husband and wife? There are a few things which we must consider here. The scholars have mentioned that for a husband and wife, the separation or discord can be created by inappropriate comments. For example, if a wife, she speaks against her husband but praises other men in his presence, this can be a reason why the husband may feel heartbroken or offended by his wife or due to his wife. Sometimes other individuals who are part of the extended family, they will say something praising another man, how great he is and how he's able to look after his family and the affairs of his family are much better than the husband of the woman that this person is speaking to. So praising other men in the presence of the wife, for the wife to praise other men in the presence of her husband. And the same can be said regarding the slave who is incited against or is encouraged to go against his master. This means that if someone incite hatred and say and encourage the servant to run away from his master and from the home that he has been serving or he was serving, this is an example of creating discord between the master and the servant. In a family, if there is if there are disputes between the husband and wife, these disputes must be kept between them. If they have children, the children should not be exposed to the negativity of any disagreements or any disputes. If you want to correct someone, you correct them individually. By correcting them openly in front of other people, you humiliate them. So all those husbands and all the wives out there, when you live in the home, you will see each other's good things, you will see the good qualities of one another, and you will see some qualities that you may not like. But a believer is one who focuses on the good qualities of his spouse. A believer is one who will overlook any negative quality, remembering his very own shortcomings. Because we do not live in a perfect world. We cannot claim to possess impeccable character. We are people who are at fault many occasions. So we must learn to accept and to tolerate the faults or mistakes or shortcomings of the people who live with us. Especially if we are married, we must learn to express forbearance in matters of disagreement when it comes to the household or financial issues or whatever the issue is. We must not become people who lose control and express our wrath and destroy the environment at home, affecting the children, affecting other family members. I would like to share with you now the account of a woman who was affected by the discord or the corruption of another individual. The point that I made earlier was that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam mentioned that he is not from us who turns a wife against her husband. This example that I am about to share with you is an example of this, of how another person comes into a household and says things, promises things which affect the mentality, the mindset of a wife, and she then faces grave consequences because of her decisions thereafter. In the time of the Israelites, there was a man who would collect wood or cut wood. He would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. He was a very pious individual, but obviously not the most affluent, not the most rich person in his community. He was blessed with a very beautiful wife, and she was so beautiful that the people spoke of her beauty, and it became quite famous that this man, this woodcutter or wood collector, he is married to a woman who is very beautiful. And as you know, there are some people, some women have this habit that when they go into a household and they see any of the women of that household who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with beauty, they have this habit of telling other people, which isn't really a good thing. And this is why some of the scholars encourage that even though it's permissible for certain facial features and certain features of a woman to be exposed to another woman, a woman should not expose her facial features, which is permissible for her, to women who are evil or corrupt, or they are known to be women who are not religiously devoted or do not take the precautions of the religion. And this is one reason why, because when women come to a household, they may see the women of that household who are following the Islamic etiquette. they are adopting modesty and they cover themselves according to the guidance of the Sharia, and people outside do not know of them or their condition, but these women who come into that household, they'll go out and they'll speak about them in front of other men and talk about their beauty and talk about their appearance, etc. And the corrupt heart is affected by such things. So to eliminate any possibility of affecting the hearts of the corrupt or creating evil thoughts for people who have been affected by whispers of Satan, certain precautions are taken in the Sharia. Coming back to our account, this woman was known for her beauty. The king of that time, he found out about the beauty of this woman, and he gave an old woman this duty to convince that beautiful woman who is married to that wood collector or wood cutter, to convince her. He sent this old woman to convince her in any way to leave her poor husband and marry him and come into the palace and be and enjoy the extravagant life of the palace and be the queen of the king. So this old woman, she followed her orders and she met the wife of the woodcutter or the wood collector and spoke to her with words like, "What are you doing here? Why are you suffering with this poor man? You could be the queen of a palace. You could live an extravagant life." And with words of this nature, she incited hatred in that woman against her husband. Now, the woman did not want to remain with her husband and she began to behave in a very negative way, or she became uncooperative. She became very difficult to such an extent that her husband was forced to leave her, to separate himself from her or to let her go. And the reason was that she was persistently being negative towards him, and in the end he realized that she didn't want to live with him. Her head had been turned by the old woman who had promised riches and promised her an extravagant life. The old woman and her scheme apparently worked. This woman left her poor husband, her poor but pious husband, and went to the palace of the king. After their marriage, when the king approached his new wife, suddenly he lost his eyesight. He wasn't able to use his hands. He lost the feeling in his hands, the ability to use his hands. He lost the ability to talk. And the same happened to his new wife, the beautiful woman who was affected and blinded by greed, leaving her previous husband, the poor but pious woodcutter, to marry this king. Now both of them, blind, unable to speak, unable to use their hands, apparently crippled. This news reached the prophet of that time, who mentioned their situation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I shall never forgive them." Both of these people will never attain forgiveness. Did they think that I was unaware of what they did to that woodcutter? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed how he witnessed their deceit and their disloyalty. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed how this hidden deceit, this treachery, this disloyalty, which was not explained to that poor pious woodcutter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was aware of every trick and every act of deceit which took place for that king and his new wife to be together. And for this reason, they were not granted forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the truth is, separating the husband and wife is an action which is considered to be the worst of deeds. The worst of deeds because it is one of the deeds which pleases Iblis, Shaytan, the most. And following this thought, I would like to share with you a narration. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and reports that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that the devil, Iblis, he spreads his throne on the sea. Iblis sends his army to spread evil in the land. And the closest to him who create the most discord, who spread the most corruption in the earth. One army or one group comes, returns to him as he is on his throne on the sea and reports, we have done this and we have done that. This is an overview of the hadith. Then a group comes to Iblis and one of them says, I did not leave an individual until I created separation between him and his wife. When Iblis hears this, he brings that evil jinn closer to himself and he says to him, how good you are, how excellent you are, and embraces him. So Iblis, Shaytan, embraces the one who creates separation between husband and wife. Other evil deeds were reported to him or are reported to him, but he is not impressed with those evil deeds as he is impressed with the evil deed of separating a husband and wife. This is why it's very important for us to realize that the marriage, the bond of marriage, is a sacred bond. It is a bond which increases piety, a means of increasing piety for both individuals. It is a means of protection. It is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Marriage and the bond of marriage should not be trivialized. It should not be taken lightly. And for this reason, every individual who is married must act with responsibility and maturity and be patient when facing disagreements or disputes during his marital life. Following our theme of he is not from us or he is not one of us, I would like to share with you another narration. This is mentioned in Ibn Majah. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man idda'a ma laysa lahu fa laysa minna." Whosoever makes a claim for that which is not his is not from us. وَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And he should make his place, or he should find his place in the fire. This is an expression which we will explain inshallah shortly. So the main theme of this narration is that someone who claims, makes a false claim, a false claimant is not from the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He has gone against the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today people lie when it comes to property, when it comes to land, any possessions, just for that material gain. They will make a false claim. Just for a little more money, more land, an increase in property, they will make themselves among those who are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are two elements. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi alayhi rahmah, he says that a person, a false claimant, there are two sins that are found in his condition. One, he's lying. A liar, those who lie, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon them. Someone who lies, one narration mentions that an angel runs a mile away from him. That's how bad the smell is which comes from his mouth. The second element is, the false claimant tries to violate the right of another individual. So that right belonged to another individual, but this false claimant has violated that right by saying that something which did not belong to him, so he's making a false claim, that is affecting the right of another individual. Lying and violating the right of another person. The expression towards the end, which mentions that he should seek his place in the fire, this is not an instruction. This is what is referred to as amr in the meaning of khabar. This is just an expression to say that such a person is worthy of the fire. He is worthy of going into the fire because of his false claim, because of his lying. This is not, it's not to be taken literally. And this is another example of how every statement of the Quran and Hadith is not taken literally. We must understand the contextual element of narrations and also the background related to other narrations as well. I'd like to share with you quickly an account in which the importance of not making a false claim is mentioned. Once, this is mentioned in Abu Dawud, this happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. A Hadrami, a man from Hadramaut in Yemen, and another man, they had a dispute. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was hearing this dispute, and it was regarding some land in Yemen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by the Yemeni, the Hadrami man, that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my land has been taken forcefully by his father. This man's father has taken my land, and now this man has control over it, or he has possession of it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this man, do you have any witnesses? He said, no, but I would like this man to swear by Allah subhanahu ta'ala that he does not know that that land belongs to me, which his father had taken. So what he was asking from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is this, that I don't have any witnesses for the fact that this land was taken away from me by his father, but I want him to swear by Allah that he does not know this fact, that he doesn't know that this land belongs to me, meaning that he wouldn't be able to swear by Allah subhanahu ta'ala that this land does not belong to me, and this way the matter would become clear. So when he put this request to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this man, he should swear that he does not know that this land actually belongs to me and that his father had taken this land from me, the other man was ready to falsely claim, to make a false claim and say that the land belongs to him or whatever he was going to say. But before he spoke, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the following: whosoever takes a false oath and then attains wealth or attains property due to this, he will rise or he will come to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this state that his hands and his feet will be cut off. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, the other man who was about to make a false claim, he desisted. He decided not to go through with his false claim. And hence it became apparent that the land did actually belong to the Hadrami, to the man from Yemen who had said that his land had been taken by the other man's father. So this is an example of the importance of not making a false claim. The people who had fear in their hearts in the past, who knew of the consequences of a false claim, they would never dream of swearing by Allah subhanahu ta'ala to make a false claim and to violate the right of another individual. There are various hadith traditions which mention how someone who makes a false claim for even a handspan of land, that land will be put around his neck and he'll be weighed down by this in the hereafter. He'll be punished with this land on the day of judgment. This will be humiliating for him in the hereafter. It will become apparent to the people that he has deceived or claimed falsely in this world. Viewers of Madani Channel, we learn that a false claim can lead to grave consequences in the hereafter. There is a warning of the fire of hell. There is a warning that such a person may rise in the day of judgment with his hands and feet cut off, that even a small piece of land falsely claimed can be a burden around his neck. It is not worth destroying the hereafter for a little wealth, for a little property that is attained through deceit and false claims. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are people who bring husbands or keep husbands and wives together. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are saved from the trickery of shaitan, and we do not make any false claims or claim falsely in any way, destroying or putting our akhirah, our hereafter, in danger. May Allah enable us to follow the prophetic way and to be part of His community. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Rasulullah alayhi salam said, He is not from us, He not from us. He is not from us.